Hey, you're listening to Block Thinking with Werner Puchert and Jonathan Gall.
Block Thinking. Yeah, dude, sorry, man. Like, a little bit late. And I had to kind of warn you on the run, text messaging, hey, I'm going to be late for the recording today. And you kind of respond as like, hey, I'm also on my way. What are you up to?
So basically today I was taking care of booking my tickets, my plane tickets, hotels and everything for Loop. So Loop is a design event organized by Framer in Amsterdam. And yeah, it took me some time actually to book those tickets. I started last week. I started with just the plane ticket and it took me, you know, I time track everything. Yeah. It took me like 3 hours and a half to find an hotel that work for me.
That
for
suits this event. The Jonathan Gall needs.
Last year, when I went to Loop, let's say that I didn't have a lot of money to spend in events. So I was like, okay, I need to save some money. So how can I save some money? Well, I'm going to take an hostel. You know, hostel are cheap and it's all good and stuff. And I found an hostel that was like 10 minutes by from the event. Perfect. Price, excellent. And it was end of September at the time. So end of September is always, you know, out of the season. You have good prices. It's all one well. The issue is the sound. So I went there to work, actually. I'm part of the staff of Loop. I'm not technically part of the Framer company, but I've been working with them since. I've been working with them since some time now. So they gave me the opportunity to help them and let's be behind the scene. So during the day, I was actually working. It was just like not like I was going to a conference, sit down, eat cakes, and you know, and clap clap. I had to actually move stuff. There was some work. So you arrive back home, it's 11, and you know it's Amsterdam. The population that goes in Amsterdam is here to party.
Yeah, they're not here to work at Framer Loop.
Let's say that when I came back to in Poland, I slept for probably 2 days in a row. So yeah. This time, I wanted to do things much better.
Yeah, I'm actually quite excited for you, dude, going there again.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. It's my only conference out of Poland I'm going to this year. Actually, it's the first conference I'm going this year. And I'm so excited because I'm going to meet all friends. I'm going to see amazing folks. I'm going to participate in workshops. It's kind of my community, you know. It's a lot of people I follow on Twitter or are following me on Twitter will be at Loop, so it's always excellent. Yeah,
and I think people need to understand. Okay, so first of all, Framer Loop, as Framer is a prototyping platform that you actually introduced me to, right? Super yeah. Awesome platform. I think the differentiating factor is that it has kind of a code base, right? That runs off code a little bit.
Yes,
it's very interesting. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that you are also missed the prototype, because in my books, in any case, is that one of the things that you speak a lot about at events is how prototyping is important. I mean, we all know that, but also the fact that there's a case to be made for designers who work in the field of UX and whatever to learn to probably dabble in a little bit of code. But I don't want to open up a whole minefield of that kind of stuff, but I think you've got something there. And I remember you said to me when you came back from the first event, because we did speak about event attendance and spending money on the wrong events and whatever, but you did say that Framer, your conversations there, you connect with some cool people, there's potentially some business opportunities, there's growth, and you met some good people too. So I'm really hopeful for you for the next round, dude, to see what's going to happen there. And maybe we can have a bit of a conversation. When is it? When is it happening?
So between the 14th and the 16th of August.
Yeah. In Amsterdam.
Exactly.
Boom. It's going to be awesome, man. But dude, there's a reason we are sitting here today. Because as much as we we think we are structured. We're not always structured, and we try and be, is that we decided today we're going to talk about health.
Yes.
Right? Or let's say wellness. And now a warning, we are not by any means wellness or health people at all. We can only talk from our experience. And I think when we started thinking about this topic and having conversations about it, is that this is something that could be neglected, especially when you start your own business and you start running around with things. I know for a fact it's something that I've been focusing on. There's a lot of elements around the whole idea of wellness. But I think what sparked it a little bit is that I recently started looking a little bit about around eating, and you signed up for a gym. But because you used to be like quite an active guy, and then you started like working through the night. So that is interesting. But I have to share something else before we get into, because it's kind of related to health and not looking after yourself. So I don't know if you remember in the last show, I gave you this whole spiel about cold brew coffee. In fact, you'll see me.
And you have really nice glasses too.
And I want you to note that I'm actually also sipping my cold brew, oopsie, through a paper straw.
Look at you.
It's not going to get stuck in any blowhole anywhere. I'm planet friendly. And I'm sipping away on my delicious cold brew. But what I did the other evening, dude, this is so funny. So my wife came back from holiday. She took my son on holiday. And I had like a whole time here at home, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to impress my wife, because the nice thing about this cold brew coffee sponsored by Starbucks. <Yeah. laughs> No, man. But it's like, there's a point to the story. Really, it is. It's smooth, right? So because you let the coffee stand for so long, it's not harsh. Right? I mean, you have black coffee, whatever, it can be really harsh. This is really smooth. And I wanted my wife to taste this, because I think, I mean, she's not a big coffee head, but she's going to enjoy this. So we got home one night around, I think it was around 9 o'clock at night. And I said, listen, I want you to try this cold brew. It's going to be great. So I put the ice in. It's nice. You know, it's hot outside. So we sip away in our cold brews. And I think I made one small little mistake, because when you make it, you have to kind of, you need to water it down. Because when you first make it, it's super like concentrate. I didn't do the right proportions. Dude. I didn't sleep that night. I went straight through. Like I had to do some work and catch up on some stuff, dude. The next thing I know, it's 3 o'clock, you know, and you know, it gets early light here in Poland, like 4 o'clock-ish. I saw the sun come up, dude. I had a sleep between 4 and 5. It's horrible. But you know what the worst thing is? So like around 2:30, I was like walking around in the house, and I walk past the bedroom because I try not to make a noise. And I peer in, and my wife's there, like in bed, sitting on her phone, scrolling through Zalando. She couldn't sleep either, dude. She was not happy with me at all. The more she's saying, like, man, is that damn cold brew coffee of yours? She said, no, it can't be. You're probably just acclimatizing from your holiday. So be careful with your cold brew coffee.
Yep. I will share to my best self, because she likes coffee very much.
But I mean, that brings us to the whole thing around wellness, right? Because you know, sleep is one of those things that you need to kind of look after when you do your work. And so dude, like, I mean, I've flapping lips way too much. Like, how did you get to signing up for a gym? How did this whole thing unfold? Where did you see the problem actually come in?
Yeah, so as you know very well, I've been very unhealthy in my weaving since I began freelancing, because I was so focused on, you know, getting goods, getting clients, marketing, sales, workshops, presentations, that I decided to sacrifice my health. And the thing I decide, my social life too, but that's less important for now.
Yeah.
I have you. That's enough for me. So I make the conscious decision to, okay, I'm going to figure this out later. And I shouldn't say conscious, because I just went with the flow. I had to do that, and I had to make money first, basically make cash.
Yeah.
But the issue is that even though I made cash, I never went back to an healthy lifestyle. And
it's easy to neglect, right? You can forget about it quite quick.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, I didn't have any big issue at the time. But that, then what happened is that in a very short time span, so many things happened. I had issues with an ear, so I started to have tinnitus, which for people who don't know what tinnitus is, you have a buzzing sound all the time in your ear, so you can't hear silence anymore. It's, at the beginning, it was very, very difficult to live with that. Now I'm used, I got used. There is no remedies for tinnitus right now. We didn't find anything. So there is just experiments. In September, I'm going to be part of a trial in a virtual institute, and they're going to try things on me. Hopefully they won't. Yeah.
Some experiment. Hopefully. You might become like bitten by a radioactive spider or something.
Yeah. So
it's all pilot needs like a French speaking superhero.
Gosh. That would be fun. So there was that. I had issues with my back, issues with my knees. I mean, I had this story issue with my knees.
Kind of falling apart.
That's exactly that. Month after month, something else was going down. And as you can imagine, my morale also was going down with all of that, because I was like, okay.
Yes, ultimately, all that affects your kind of your workflow as well, right? You're like, if you're not in a healthy mind, I think it's what, like, kind of the obvious is like, you're not, things aren't going well.
And you know what the most crazy part of it is, that I started to have all those issues and I didn't react actually immediately, because I was so focused on, I need first to have a stable situation, which actually never really happen when you're freelance, but I didn't know that at the time. I wanted to have those long contracts or anything. And I was like, I need to push more, because I'm following all those, you know, design goals on Twitter freelance coaches and all of that. And I was like, okay, I don't do enough. I need to do more and more and more.
Stability,
and more.
Yeah.
Then I woke up. So it was my birthday 2 weeks ago. And I realized, okay, dude, you're really kind of broken. You have a lot of issues to figure out. So what do we do now? Because you won't have a lot of chances left. You know, years are going by and there is a point where the snowball is going just too heavy to move. So yeah, the next day after my birthday, I went to a gym. I registered. And I've been to the gym every day since. And I'm very proud of it.
That's good, dude. You're not one of the statistics. You sign up for the gym card and never go back. You actually go back.
I used to go to the gym every day. It's not like something new. I'm just like, why did I stop at some point? Because I like that. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy going to the gym. It's much more difficult than when I was younger, especially when I was putting weights. I was like, I used to do that. Not anymore. But yeah, I feel so much better. So, so much better. And I have to say, one last thing about that. One of the signs was actually external, because my girlfriend for my birthday, so she offered me an Apple Watch telling me, you see, there is very nice fitness trackers on those. And I was like, okay, I know what you mean.
I'm going to overuse that feature.
So tell me about you.
I have a problem with gyms. I and maybe it's like just me being full of shit, but I can't do the gym thing. So I used to go to gym back in the day when I was younger. So I used to play.
So
it's not the bush warfare weekend warrior thing. We used to play tournaments and I used to travel. Like that's the only reason I used to be able to leave South Africa, is because we played tournaments and in Europe and in Asia. That was kind of my thing, was like pro amateur. Yeah. And we were sponsored, so we had to be in shape. So we trained every weekend, Saturday and Sunday, you know. And it was really hard. So I was the best shape that I've ever been in was then. And then that was kind of combined with like a gymming as well, because you had to have a certain level of fitness, whatever, to yeah, sustain. Sure. But the thing is, I think what the way that I define it is that I need a goal. And, you know, for me, when I was in shape, the whole idea of training and playing paintball and playing strategic games and stuff, that was so I'm kind of in search for that. I think long story short is like I've never been able to find what replaces the paintball because I retired about 5 years ago when I started getting too old to compete. And really at like a professional level, I've never been able to replace that. So I've been looking into things like wall climbing, but I'm struggling with the frozen shoulder, I think because of lack of exercise. So I'm still trying to solve the exercise issue. So at the moment I'm being a real old fart, just focusing on trying to get out there and commute via any mode except motorcycle and car. So I walk everywhere. I try and stay active in that sense, right? Myself and my kid go play, but it's something that I need to focus on. So you're kind of like, I don't want to admit this in front of everybody, but you're kind of inspiring me with this whole idea of going to gym. So I need to replace that. But what I have been doing, and this has kind of sparked the question of the conversation, is that I've always been this guy who has this ping pong situation with my weight. So I want you to think about like the old Garfield cartoons. You know Garfield, that cat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He loves eating lasagna, right? So he slams his face right into the lasagna. That's me, dude. I'm not shy to admit that I love to stuff like loads of crap in my mouth and eat it, right? So I've been always trying to. So the paintball, everything helped me to kind of get into shape. I lost a shitload of weight. And I've always been on this mission trying to retain and sustain that weight. And it's been a ping pong effect up and down all the time, driving my wife nuts. And a few weeks ago, like probably a month ago, and this is not a pitch because I think I also want to underline this, like it's not that I'm recommending any of this, is that I started looking into a system called intermittent fasting. So how it works, there's different ways of doing it where people like fast for long periods of time, whatever. But the one that I'm looking into is that you create a eating window for yourself. So the regimen that I'm following at the moment is there's 16 hours of not eating and 8 hours of eating. Mm. And I must say, dude, so I've been doing it now for 4 weeks, nearly a month. And kind of the research around it, it's really around what I've read up on. It's like it has been done on rats, right? So they're very, very honest. They're saying like you can't really translate this research into human beings, and that's kind of really at the beginning. But it's been very positive where it really there's this thing where they say like the body is kind of focused on digestion. And then when it doesn't have to focus on that for that period of time, when it's done with that, it starts focusing on rebuilding the immune system. And I must say, like the first thing that people say to me, like, did you start getting the shakes or, you know, like headaches? None of it, dude. It might be placebo for me still at this stage. I'm trying to see how it's going. I'm feeling super energized, dude. I feel, you know, like I feel... You know, I feel like I've like gained some of my energy back. I feel, you know, and for me at this stage, it's really working. So, I mean, an hour ago, my eating, so at the moment, I'm eating between 3 o'clock and I think 11 o'clock. I'm just playing with that window because we tend to eat a bit too late, I guess. So my eating window is now, so I've had my lunch, and then later on I'll eat dinner. The only thing that I'm struggling at the moment now is like you have this temptation to eat crap. So my next focus is to figure out like in this eating window to eat a bit more kind of balanced meals. But I mean, I'm not like do your research and check it out. But for me, it's been really like it's been working. Because also I think what happens though, because I'm following this, it's controlled. People know what my wife knows what I'm doing, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
You know, people like, because I get tempted all the time to eat crap, you know. Poland.
Do you use an app, Thursdays.
Huh?
Do you use an app? Application?
Oh, yeah, I use an app. So the app that I'm using at the moment, there's two. There's one that's probably better. It's called Zero. It's designed by a guy who is in the tech industry. I think it's Zero. I'll put the link to the proper one in the show notes. Very nice app. But I actually went for an app called Body Fast.
Okay.
Yeah, so the only reason I just like the UI a little bit more because it shows the eating windows, not eating windows. The only thing with that app, though, is that it tries to sell you shit. So it's kind of sign up for coaching, like do the, you know, the classic kind of remarketing crap. But I've been, I switch off to that. I mean, it's, you can probably look into it if you wanted to, but at the moment it's really like, it's helping me just sustain that. And I look at, I'm not losing any weight. That's a funny thing, dude. I'm not losing weight. I'm staying where I am.
It's all about situation. It's all about, you need to find something that works for you and do more of it.
And energy and control, you know? So
exactly.
I mean, maybe kind of the other effect to it is that, because during the windows that you don't eat, you really do not eat. So it's so weird. Like if you start reading up on it, like even if you drink a vitamin pill, it's seen as like breaking your fast. So the only things that you have is like you have water and then you can drink like black tea and coffee, like black coffee, like no sugar, all these other things. Because like if you do anything that you need that kicks in your digestive system, then you're not fasting anymore. And then, you know, then it's kind of like after that, it's like free for all, which is not entirely, I think, the way that you should be doing it. You should be eating stuff that is like neutralizing or like gives nutrients to the body, not like snacks like a van's doing. But that's kind of my next focus, dude, is to try and kick that in.
Yes. So for that, exactly. So what you eat. So I have a couple of apps I'm using to monitor my own weight because my goal right now is to gain a lot as much as possible during the summer, then lean down. And I found there is an app actually I used to use a few years ago and I restart and it's really, really good. It's called LifeSum, in which you basically, I love it. I really love it. I love it so much that I took the annual subscription after testing it for a while.
LifeSum.
And what is amazing, it's not amazing, but it's very particular to Poland. A lot of time when you use those apps and you want to scan the code, it wouldn't work with Polish food. And LifeSum, most Polish food is registered. So I just take a can of beans or anything, I scan, I have exactly
what
I
ate. Is it kind of like, in your mind, are you like hitting the calorie counting thing or what?
Oh yes, I'm doing it like, I mean, we will link the app and people won't be able to see, but I know exactly what I'm intaking. I mean, I used to do that since a long time, but now I'm really taking off the protein, carbs and fat part. Because I know how much protein I need to.
Sugar.
I almost don't eat sugar at all in general. So that's not really.
I don't know what it is. Like I'm what do you call it? Like when you like salt, there's a word I can't remember now. savory. I'm a savory man. But I don't know, something in like Central Europe. I think Poland with its Wedel and Wawel or whatever chocolate. I dig out snacky, you know, a little. Little bedtime chocolate.
That's the advantage of living in Kielce. I don't have too many temptations when it comes to eating out.
Yeah, there's too much.
You know, there is so one much. Żabka. So for people listening to us who are out of Poland, Żabka is like the convenience store, the 7-Eleven that we have here. So there is just one Żabka next to my place and that's all. That's all. So I have one unfair advantage. My better half is an MD.
Yeah, so she's a doctor. Great.
Yeah. So she can every time I have ideas and my better half is and one of my back then when I was living in Krakow, and I hope he's listening to me, my coach became one of my best friends, my fitness coach, and he taught me so much stuff about eating properly.
Yeah.
Specifically being vegan, I need to take care of what I'm eating and what I need to supplement. So
yeah, that's the other thing I forgot to mention. Like you're vegan, right? That makes it even more complicated.
Yeah. To be honest, I do believe that it makes it more simple. After it's been decades now that I'm vegetarian, then I became vegan perhaps for 4 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
But limited choice helps. I mean, you know the paradox of choice and everything. I don't have too much of a paradox of choice when it comes to food.
That's true, right?
And that makes everything so much simple for me. I want proteins. I have all forms of tofu, seitan, tempeh. I have beans. And that's it, because I don't eat meat and I don't eat fish. So yeah. I need to figure out around it. But because I became vegan, I had to learn about all that stuff. That's why I have the tracker. I need to know exactly how much I need to eat of everything to fill my gaps. And I need to take supplements also. I don't want this to become something you should become. I'm not like, I'm vegan for myself. I have my own reason. I don't plan, yeah. I don't want anybody else to become vegan without having their study or anything. But yeah, there are a few challenges at the beginning. But once you get over that curve, eating is so super easy because I eat at home. First of all, it forced me to cook because... Yeah. Good luck being vegan in Kelsey, trying to eat out.
Yeah, and it's funny, like people laugh at me sometimes, right? I mean, Kelsey is different, right? But like, it's actually interesting that in Warsaw, like vegan and vegetarianism is actually
it's
like...
so nice, Warsaw.
It's like a capital of like having good vegan food. I mean, I'm not vegan at all. I'm a South African meat eater. But, and funny enough, my meat consumption since being in Europe and in Warsaw has actually declined. Not that I don't eat meat at all, I still enjoy, but the thing is, you can just as well pop down the road or into the city and have some good vegan food that is like, it's just good. It's like great stuff. So, you know, I'm really like, Poland's been good to me in that sense, like, or Warsaw in that fact. Sorry for you. You just have to come visit, man.
I remember last time I came, remember that was when Element Talks last year, and we went to eat those very nice vegan sandwiches. That was so nice. Anyway, I need to go back to my beans after this episode, so let me not think about it too much.
I hope I'm not going to destroy this conversation, right? Because I think we have both, I mean, you very like on the health and eating and exercise thing, but I kind of where I'm also at is like wellness in itself, like broad wellness, because you did touch on it last time and you are the inspiration of this, dude, is like structuring things. But I mean, I think why I get inspired by you is like, I mean, I do follow a structure and such, sometimes regimentally so, but it's always good to kind of relook where you're at and see if you can't make it like in a way where it's repetitive over a period of time. So what I've been trying to look at, so there's two things that I'm looking at, is like structuring my day better.
Okay.
Because I realized like watching my working sessions is that I'm trying to, for example, I mean, I think Tim Ferriss does it as well, as like on a Monday and Friday, I try not to schedule like meetings in town. Monday and Friday is really focusing on working effectively, building out whatever I need to do. And then the rest of the week is like meetings. I mean, I struggle with time zones, so I have to be very careful about how I structure my day around time zones with my clients. But I've done two things. So the first thing I've done is I've actually structured my day. I scheduled things into my calendar to. It's not that I religiously keep to it, but I structured my day in certain ways where.
I know,
and I'll give an example of. But for example, I set out a certain period of time that I call like training. But that's kind of like to focus on my Polish lessons. What am I doing to actually focus
looking.
On? Yeah, like what am I doing to grow myself? And there's a bit of time for that every day. Maybe reading. Like when am I reading? Like what is my reading? Because like I'm trying to also curb some bad or things that are not necessarily bad, but what I want to cut out. So for example, I love to read news, dude. Like I want to know exactly what Donald Trump's doing every minute of the day. But it sucks up so much time, man.
Yeah, this is a vice. I can talk about it because I'm the same. You know, the reason I have all those methodologies is because I'm a butterfly myself. I will just, there's that news. And let me go, there's a link on Wikipedia. There's another link on Reddit. And
you get sucked down a rabbit hole, right?
You can't do that anymore when you're freelance because there's nobody around you to catch you back, to remind you. So
and that is it.
Go,
I think that's a point, mate. Like that's good. That's exactly it. I thought of it when we spoke the other day. Is that I think when you're in a controlled environment and controlled in quotes, right? Depends on where you are. It's some things the big machine is running, right? And you kind of fit into it, and you're in a structure or schedule, either quarterly or yearly, set up by the machine. But when you're freelance or you're working for yourself, that doesn't exist anymore, and now you have to be kind of really careful. About how you spend. So like at the moment, I'm experimenting with that structured system. And yes, like, does it work all the time? No, because prioritization needs to, but I do, you know, when I sit down, there's things that I want to do, and I'll share with you now what my approach is, but these things I want to do, and I make time for them at a specific time. And it's like, and sometimes it works, and like today was a complete mess because I had to kind of like look after client stuff, and that's fine. The only thing is like, okay, cool, tomorrow I start again, do it again, like,
yep,
and try and make it a habit and try and fit into it, because I really feel like when you work on your own and you set that time aside where you can really focus and work hard, man, like you can do like 8 hours work in 2 hours.
I totally believe it.
Man,
it just takes time. It took me 2 years to get to that point where I'm comfortable with my daily system. I'm like you, because I don't have meetings the morning, because all my clients are based in the US, on that side, I can really focus first of all, improving myself and do the hard tasks and organize around that. And then I go to fitness most of the time. Or after, in that today I will go after our meeting. And everything that needs my brain less. I mean, I don't want to say that meetings are not important. Listen to me, future parents.
But if you listen to Seth Godin, he hates meetings, man. What the hell?
But I don't need to have... It's another skill set. I don't need to have a level of focus and concentration that I have the morning when I actually design and actually develop, where I need to have... Or when I read, but I will enjoy reading the morning, for example, because it's the time when I can create my flashcards and I feel comfortable doing it.
Yeah, there's not a nagging feeling in the back that the client's waiting for something because your client's sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there are a few little tips that you can do to improve your well-being when you're freelance. Or it's not even when you're freelance. I think I would have used all of those working independently.
Yeah.
One of the best investment I did that was a year ago was to buy a standing desk, for example. Simple, fast. Wait, I'm going to let everybody hear the motor of my standing desk. So this is my standing desk going up. This is so nice.
So you can't see this. I'm seeing Jonathan disappearing. I just see, like, he's like a crocodile now. I just see his eyes.
So yeah, buying a standing desk forced me, because you can have reminder and stuff, to just do that. Sometimes stand, you get stuck into things, and having that reminder, okay, stand up. It's not a lot. It might sound stupid for people listening to us, but it does make a difference. First of all, it's better for your health in terms of you need to move every hour at least, for sure. And the other side is that the fact that you move, you also, elevate. That's a nice metaphor.
Yeah.
You do something else and you're like, okay, it might be time to change focus. Is what I'm doing important right now? Should I focus to something else? It gives you that little break during the day to, every hour, to evaluate what you're doing right now. It became a trigger for me. I stand up, okay. What I'm doing right now, is that important? If it's important, let me continue. If it's not, I should probably move to something else.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a very, very simple trick. Standing desk are really affordable right now. And it really made a difference. Initially, I bought it just for my back issues. And now it's part of my routine.
It's part of your workflow, yeah. Because what's a weird thing is like... Because I don't think it's necessary the conversations about being on your own, working on, like, oh, cool, now you immediately fall into the lazy gap. That's not it. For me, it's completely the opposite, because I had a conversation with my wife the other day where we kind of had a discussion about work, and or she said, you know what, like, maybe we could, it's kind of the hipster thing to do these days, go to Bali and we go there for a month.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of went like, what the hell? Like, I don't want to go there like for a month. I've got work to do. Like, even worse now because I'm running a business. I need to get shit done. But then I realized like, I could actually do that. I mean, I'm working for a lot of clients. I'm working remotely. If I plan it properly, there's nothing on this planet stopping me from doing that, right? Because, you know, I'm not attached to anything. I'm a completely remote worker. I'm an answer to myself. I need to make sure my business runs properly. But I think what happens is that I still haven't left corporation. I think.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm still in the rut. And the thing is, like, I see this happen to me a lot. So, you know, I'm much more flexible with my hours because I have clients in different time zones. You know, sometimes a lot of my meetings can, I mean, I've had meetings at like 12 o'clock at night, Poland time, where it's a different time for a client. And then I'm up again at 8. But I usually wake up earlier, but then I'm up again back at work at 8. And I'm going like, actually what I need to do is I need to start compensating for those hours because those hours are, I'm missing hours somewhere else. And I'll tell you what I'm trying to get at is that there's like, you have like an element of work that you need to focus on. Then there's an element of play. Like, what am I doing to have fun? What is my fun? You know, and right. then health that we discussed, and then the other element is love, like my family, you know, like am I doing, looking after that? And then I'm over-investing on the work part. And there's actually a book that I'm reading at the moment. Like, I've read it. I'm actually rereading it again because I read it while I was at corporation and I went, shit, I really need to make a change in my life, right? And now we're talking about this every week. But then I realized, okay, cool. I'm making a few mistakes again. So I'm rereading. It's called Designing Your Life.
So good.
So it's a guy's from Stanford. It's like kind of how do you apply design thinking to designing your own life? And in this, they talk about this dashboard that you have to have where it's you need to see the way you assess your life because before you can start designing, you need to understand where you are. Like before you know where you've – so where are you now? And I kind of looked at my my dashboard because the dashboard consists out of what does your work, play, and love and health look like? And when I was at the corporation, the work was heavy, right? It's like was way and everything else was lower. But now when I did the dashboard again, I went like, but my play, love, and health is still not where it should be. I need to readjust that.
Yeah, actually, when it comes to play, one of my friends told me recently that I used to you know discuss with him a lot about TV shows or video games or things like that, and I totally stopped playing video games the moment I became freelance. Like I don't think I played more than 5 or 10 minutes of a game since, except some iPad stuff. Same for TV shows. And same for books, fiction books. I started a lot of non-fiction books because it's related to work and stuff. But fiction books, it's been like 6 months I'm reading Golden Compass. And in between, I went through 3 or 4 non-fiction books because I enjoy very much reading fiction books. I enjoy very much TV shows and I enjoy very much playing video games. But I can't justify it. I have issues. I have like internal struggles.
You're your own worst boss, man.
And you know what the worst is that you have those times when you can't do shit because you're tired, you're super tired.
Yeah.
And you can't advance on your work. And instead of doing the logical thing, which is rest and watch the last episode of whatever TV show or play a game, I will stuck in front of my computer, surf on the internet and go on news, you know, that tangent, check news, because I can justify myself. Okay, news at least is not having fun. I don't want people to think that, you know, that fake hustle thing, basically. The bad part of hustling. And I need to fix that. That's something I need to work on myself.
And that's like closing the loop. What I wanted to say in the beginning is like at the moment what I'm attempting to do, and I'll give you kind of a feedback later on, is like I'm attempting to structure my day properly to say, okay, cool. Because there's actually a lot of time in a day. Seth Godin, like one of the things is like, when you want to build something and people say like, I'm too busy, like I've got my corporate lifestyle, I can't really do. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Like most of the day it's probably sleeping. Like if you go and structure your day out properly and you figure out what you want to do, but then also plan in the play and the love.
Yeah.
Man, dude, I wouldn't be able to do this when my wife kicks me out of the house. I'm doing this because I love them. Right? And the thing is, that's right. The other thing is my love counter is super low. I'm an asshole. I need to kind of start doing stuff for my wife, right? So, you know, and she's been super supportive. I mean, I know your lovely better half, if we call it that. And she's awesome, man. And the thing is, we need to look after our families too, right? They listen to us flap lips about technology and our meetings and crap. So I'm hoping, we'll keep on talking about it because I want to really see how, you know, I can tweak that part of my life a little bit too, right? To see, you know, this is kind of like the cool thing about design. It's like you can actually design your own damn life and tweak things and see how it goes because that's super interesting.
I do think the most exciting thing about being freelance, we talk about the challenges and the difficulties, but there is a reason why we are still trying, at least, or still managing and still liking.
I'm still stoked. I'm still thinking there's opportunity out there, but the thing is, funny enough, now like this next few months, I'm kind of in a part of my business where I'm happy. There's a lot of things going on, exciting things that we'll talk about in the next episode, whatever, and some things that you and me hopefully will work together on. But I want to kind of see if the next 2 to 3 months I want to slow down in certain parts of the business and say, from a revenue perspective, that might not be like, it's not going to be great for the bank account, but then it's going to be great for the health, love, work, play. Like how can I, you know, I think I'm also making a mistake because I think it's going to be all like structurally planned out. The German blood in my soul is like, yeah, I'm going to figure this shit out. The problem is it's never going to be like perfect. Never. Like you need to be willing to, like, I think you and me have both the thing you said in the last episode that you don't like a messy desk. Dude, you can clean your desk so many times. There's going to be some shit there somewhere. Someone's going to come mess around with it and you can't help. Yeah. Dude, something else I want to tell you, like this is kind of really jumping around. I should have put it in the beginning. Maybe it's the end of today's conversation and it kind of still plays a little bit, but I was stoked to do it, right? Because one of the things that completely destroys lives, happy lives, is email. What do you think about that statement? But anyway, I might have fallen for one of those crazy, there's more kind of infomercials on the internet. I'll tell you later, but I discovered this thing was on LinkedIn. Someone posted a link. It's called the Double Gemini email or stack email, managing your email. So this dude, I'll post a link to it. Like he did this, he does this masterclass. Have you heard of it? Like the stack method. So the way that it works is that what I do agree is that he says that email, people see email as messages. That's where the problem comes in. Email is not messages. Email is tasks. If it doesn't action you to do something, then you need to delete it or archive it.
Yep.
So the stack method works like you kind of get rid of like, because I'm one of those guys, I live in my inbox, right, all the time. And I have like millions of folders. But the way he puts it out is like you have like a few folders. You have a do folder. You can structure it the way you want. So you have do, reply, meet, remind. And then there's a few, one or two other ones, and then archive, whatever. And when an email comes, so in the morning, so you don't have to do it in the morning, but in the morning, the email comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first thing, you go through all your emails, like it takes you two minutes. Boom, boom. You go, cool, what do I need to do with this email? So you say, okay, cool, there's a do email. Boop, you put it in a do folder. It's a reply email. You clear out, dude, like for the first time in a billion years, I have inbox zero, right? Because you shift these emails into these folders, boop. And then what you do is then in the morning, because that's how my structure works, then you go through those folders because you also flag them and prioritize them. So I go, okay, cool. I need to reply to this email. And you reply right there and then, boom. So I spend the hour working through the first folders, right? So in theory, the email that I don't have to do today will then be deprioritized for later. But like, for example, my do or reply email inbox is completely empty. I reply to all of them there and then. And then if let's say it's a bigger task, I actually schedule the task in my calendar. I need to do this task. So I put it in my calendar. I'm going to do it now, then, or that time. I need hour. Boom. And I'm also running multiple inboxes because I work for multiple clients, right? So I have, for one or two clients, I'm a consultant for them. So I have email that belongs to them. So I'm working as one of their contractors or whatever. So I'm running at the moment 4 inboxes, which is a nightmare on my phone, dude. But now, like, I can show you, like, I can take my phone and show you my phone. It's empty. There's nothing. I don't have one. You switch off your notifications. So I check my email in the morning, spend an hour, clear my inbox. Then around 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, thereabouts, you do the same method, but in your inbox. You clear your inbox out. And then in the afternoon, I do the same thing. And then you leave it the F alone.
Like that. Okay.
I don't check my, like, I still have to get to the habit where I don't check it. You know, like, Banner, don't check your email. Because the reason I don't want to do that is it taps into my play and love space. I can be having a conversation with my little boy or having fun or reading a cool book or whatever.
And you're
instead of like reading my emails.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when I come back in, on the next morning and I start clearing out and prioritizing and stacking my emails in the morning, I'm being way more productive. So double Gemini stack method, check it out. I'll tell you, like, I've been doing it now for a few weeks and I can show you my inbox is empty now. Been working a dream, but I'm like, I get super excited about things like that, you know, especially when it shifts the way that I've been doing things for a long time. And you go like, holy shit. I don't know if you've like, what do you do with your email? Are you still the slave to the inbox?
No, I don't have a semi-show venue with me because most of my professional correspondence is done on Slack.
I would say
my inbox is mainly Slack. And when it comes to my mail, I've been using Inbox Zero for some time. And the way I work is I have a timer of 10 minutes every day for my mails because I don't need more with my needs. If I archive or I create as a task and I don't treat email in my inbox. I go in my inbox just to organize either task or archive stuff. Yeah. I don't subscribe to mailing list or anything. So most of what arrive in my mails are actually actionable items. But yeah, I'm very far from having the level of mail that you have. So it's fairly easy to manage.
Always been like, it's funny. I used to laugh at people. Like, I mean, I had a colleague back in ad agency days who like they could uninstall everything from her laptop. Everything, dude. She did everything in Outlook. Like, I think, yeah, she could probably plan a whole project in Outlook. You know, like, she didn't need any other software. She's like, just out of Outlook. And over the years, you kind of fall into that same trap, right? But, I mean, the other thing that's quite interesting, and it sucks time. And I still can't help it because it's like it's inbuilt in my soul. I want to structure things. I'm an old information architect. I want structure. The other thing that has been very hard for me to let go, which is silly in this method, is that you don't have folders for all the projects and stuff. So if you had to go into my old Deloitte inbox, dude, I had everything structured, right? So from clients to project, depending on how, like, it's, I had it all structured. You could see everything. You could see my whole life, like, even
I used to the same at BBH
salary too. Slip. You know, like, dates and, you know, email from the boss, you know, like, or client XYZ, date, time, like, all everything. It doesn't work like that because, like you know, on G Suite or like even shitty Outlook with its kind of search. You just archive the damn things. And I tested it. So I was very nervous. Like, you just dump it in an archive. And then the other day I went like, oh, shit, I need to find like an invoice that someone sent me that, you know, I need to track this thing down to put a response. I don't know. Like, I was quite surprised when I just typed into the Google box XY clients, and then lo and behold, the first three results actually contained the invoice that I was looking for.
Yeah,
I didn't have to go click through 2,000 million like inboxes, folders. So that's
because we are used to that now, using basically omniboxes to search for information in opposite to free structures.
And it's also it's been interesting because I mean I think this is kind of I'm getting way too excited. It also forces you to, you know, if you say, okay, cool, I don't have a folder, it also forces you to do or to take action. Because, for example, I have in one of the projects I have is like I'm getting a lot of important email, right? And then the kind of way I used to treat it is like, okay, cool, I will filter it into this thing. So here's like, let me be practical. So
yeah.
One of the projects I'm working on, we are really kind of monitoring what is being said about this specific topic in the media. So people then send me, when they pick up this topic being mentioned, they send me email, the source, the link, where this client. And what I used to do is I used to pop it into a folder in my inbox. So I call it the project what XYZ and then media mentions.
Yeah.
And I just and it worked. It's no problem. But when I got rid of my folders, what I actually had to do is I had to create a document. So now I have a spreadsheet where I actually, in a much more friendlier way and actually a shareable way, because now I can share that document with other people. Now I get the email and say, okay, cool. It goes into my do folder. And then when I have the time scheduled, nice. Go in, pull out all the media mentions, put it into the Google Sheet that I need to do, and boom, it's there for everybody. Now I actually created value that people didn't expect from me. So, you know, like it's like,
oh, it's pretty
you become more action orientated in my early research results.
Considering your heavy use of emails, you might take a look at Superhuman. Superhuman is one of the very, I'm not going to vouch for it because I never tested it myself.
Uh-huh.
But Superhuman coming with a lot of credentials from...
Is this like an inbox? Like fastest email experience ever made?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I never... Basically, what they say is that it's made to create email as tasks. It's made to manage email in a much more efficient way.
I'm on the website now.
It's super expensive. It's like super expensive.
Okay.
But everybody that tested it said that it's worth it in terms of the time they save tweeting email and the tranquility of mind.
Email is a time suck. And the thing is that the thing with email, it's not like it's something that you realize is a time suck.
It's like on the phone where, lose time, I'm doing that. But yeah.
Because you know what is the other thing that's also, I mean, and I'd love to like know what other people think about it. But even when I was doing like my corporate sitting as a consultant, right? I always used to feel like uber super guilty to put on my timesheet checking email.
Oh, yeah, nobody does that.
You know, like
yeah.
No one wants to do that because like, come on, man, like checking email. But really, you spend most of the day checking email and responding to email. I mean, yeah. I don't know like you. Like
supporting team, this is what
if you want to write the email to a CEO, you probably spend like half an hour trying to wordsmith that email into not sounding like a twat.
Yep. At least
that's time, that's money,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And the thing is, like, no, I'm not gonna put it in my timesheet. But now, like, I'm much more efficient. Like, I'm not checking email, you're turning it into a task. Okay, now I'm doing something. It just feels more natural. But anyway,
yeah.
But I'm kind of getting lyrical about something that I'm like is only 4 weeks old. Let's see, because I'm still trying to break the habit of checking all the time, right? Because the other thing that you also mentioned, Jono, and this is probably in the next space, I do have clients who talk to me on Slack. And that is still a bit of a son of a bitch. Because that little thing pops up.
Bing!
You know, because with the stack method, I've turned off my email notifications. That's also scary. that, I mean, I'm still
scared. You're still, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I get, of course, my meeting updates because I'll be screwed if I don't pitch up for a meeting. But you know that little, you know, when you're working and then you get that little email and it just drags you out of your task into email. And the weird thing is though, dude, like no one's complained yet.
Like, yeah. So what I'm doing for that is on my phone, okay, notification desktop, that's not an issue because I just opened my mail not that often, but on mobile. So I created, so I have an iPhone, and but you can do the same on Android. I have a few screens, and the last screen is, there is a folder called notifications, and in that folder, I have Riot, I have Signal, I have Slack, I have my emails, I have WhatsApp, I have Twitter, Snapchat, Skype, and Wire. And I don't go this way until I have time. So if, and that's why some people have, I won't say, not difficulties, but people who work with me know that if I don't reply exactly, is that I'm on focus time or I'm not checking that. There is a new urgent line. There is a way to contact me directly, which is the phone. If there is something that is really important, my phone is always open and you can call me. And
but some I think of it's also very rare, buddy. It's like, I think it's pressure we put on ourselves. Because once again, I'm kind of in this mission where, you know, I want to stop talking down about things. It's not about, we're putting ourselves down thinking that if we are responding within 2 minutes, it shows that we're not lazy.
Yeah.
But the fact is we're not lazy. We are, you know, it's just about structuring time. And I think on the person on the other side, when they've sent that email, they don't really expect you to reply in 10 seconds.
Yep.
I mean, of course, it's now a blanket statement, but, you know, just let go.
unless you're in a time critical job, you're working in logistics or things like that, then you have to monitor your emails, part of your job. But for most of us as creative or developers, the thing is that email notifications can get you out of your state of flow. And those, what you were talking before, doing those 2 hours in which you're going to do a day of work, you can screw it up by just having notifications for mail or even news. How many times it happened to me that there is this super infuriating news and you're like, oh, I'm just going to check the title, then you read the article, then you go and read it and you're arguing with people on the internet and yep, you lost 1 hour. So
yeah, YouTube, but, I mean, like one thing I don't do.
Oh, dude.
I don't know what it is. Like, I mean, I know, like, I mean, YouTube, because I use YouTube a lot, like, you know, especially when I, because some asshole I know introduced me to this new prototyping platform and I get sucked into kind of some of the tutorials and stuff there. But like the temptation, you know, there's these videos that pop up like, why has these actors not been used for 5 years?
Yeah.
We have the YouTube answers.
Man. YouTube is really, really good.
Do not click on any of that crap.
I have a trick for that though. There is, for Firefox at least, I'm pretty sure the same exists for Google Chrome. There is an add-on that hides that white bar completely.
Yeah, it must hide that. I have of course the other benefit that from time to time my kid watches like, people are probably going to judge me for allowing my kid to watch this crap, like Bob the Train and like Cocomelon and all these, like the wheels in the bus go around and around. So my right hand bar consists mostly out of Baby Shark. Baby Shark and Framer tutorials.
That's a nice and very interesting mix.
Yeah. Listen, buddy, I think we need to wrap it up. We've been flapping lips way too long, but I think it's good. Like, just in recap, it's like health.
Mm.
It's important. We could have said that in one sentence. But like, eat well.
Mm.
Exercise. Look left and right when you cross the road.
Finding the balance. Super important. Yeah, it's like, we are all there from our phone. The thing is that when you don't play, you don't do balance, it will catch you. I mean, I'm here to... To talk about it, I tried to be smart, and I tried to be smarter than my body, and he caught me. So it might not be the case for you, but history and experience shows that you should take care of. I really like what you're saying. Love. What?
Love, work.
Work.
Play. Health.
Health. I love it. Yeah.
You know, like, take a break.
I will report back on that.
Yeah. Can you hear the kid going crazy in the background? He wants his dad to come play. So it's time for me to focus on my playtime.
I'm going to win.
Yeah, I'm gonna go build some little trains and maybe ride a little scooter. Dude, it's really good to catch up with you again, mate.
Like, always.
Good session again. And we'll catch up again later for the next episode of Block Thinking.
Yay.
Thanks for listening to Block Thinking. You can find more information and the show notes for this episode at www.blockthinking.com. That is blockthinking without the K.com. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe on iTunes or any of your favorite podcast platforms. We thrive on critique, so feel free to leave comments on iTunes or get hold of us directly. Thanks for listening.